Hello, welcome to the Toddcast episode 3. Hope you're all good. And today we're talking about how to love really annoying people.
Really? Not just annoying people. Really annoying people.
How do you love really annoying people? What is it that makes an annoying person annoying?
Well, it's a good question. I think one for me is often it's because they're quite similar to me. And then I get annoyed at traits that I have myself, if that makes sense.
What, you annoy yourself?
I think so.
Because
you wouldn't want more than one of me, would you, Pastor?
Because the annoying person is the manifestation of you in another person's body.
And then you get annoyed at things that you would do. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think annoying people. Yeah, annoying people. I think tend to be pretty annoying because they are. They're probably just a bit too like you for comfort. But that's the thing. We're in denial about that, aren't we? We like to think that they're annoying because they're the complete opposite of us, you know. But that's just not true, because what is it? Opposites attract.
So you get on better with them.
Yeah. You get on, well, opposites attract in the sense that, you know, they say that about relationships. When somebody's opposite to you, there's something about that you think is amazing. And I think the reason why people can annoy you and irritate you is because they're not so opposite you as what you like to think. They're like you.
And that's the challenge, isn't it?
Yes. So how do you love annoying people then? Give me some tips.
How do you love them?
We're getting straight to it today. I mean, we're not doing any messing about today.
No,
we're just getting straight to
anything.
It. How are you? You doing good?
I'm doing good, Pastor.
Now, how do you love annoying people?
You encourage them. I think language is so important.
You're not into all this love language business, are you?
No, I'm not. My love language is coffee and food. Yeah. Which is not technically a love language.
Yeah.
No, I think language is really important.
Love language is giving me my space.
Your love language is just leaving you alone.
Give me my space, right? My love language is being on my own in a little log cabin by a river where I can just think and annoy myself. And that's what ends up happening invariably. I just end up just annoying myself.
Yourself.
Yeah.
Then how do you love yourself? No, that's a different question. We're going off track.
How do you love yourself? That's one of those really...
It's a bit soft, that
pathetic
question.
Questions, yes, isn't it? How do you love yourself?
I need to love other people. Love people. Yeah, I think encouraging people, that's one way to love people. Yeah,
but how do you encourage somebody who's really annoying you? You don't want to encourage them to annoy you more. That's the challenge, isn't it?
That's good.
I'm playing advocate now.
Yeah, but you take you always say this, Pastor Roy. You take the 1% good. The 1% good, you take that, you encourage them.
And what if it's zero?
Bad?
Well, zero, or another way of looking at it is 0% good.
100% annoying. You make something up and you... Speak it into them. Okay. Is that lying? Does that...
So what do you make up? If somebody's really annoying you, what can you possibly make up about that person that is a redeeming feature?
What you want to see in them. So you're speaking that into them.
Oh. So how do you then encourage them? Okay, so if you are going to encourage them, how can you encourage the person into maybe change and behave in a way that's less annoying?
You encourage people around them as well for what they're doing that the other person isn't doing, if that makes sense. So if someone's really annoying... This person's not annoying. I'm confused now. I'm confused myself.
No, well, I got to be honest. You see, when we talk about annoying people, you see that I'm not sure whether there is such a thing or okay, let me rephrase that. There are annoying people, but I think they're few and far between.
Okay.
I think what tends to be annoying is this is personal now, when I'm doing something, for example, when I'm in the zone, when I'm in a creative streak or in a creative streak. Can I say that? Creative streak. Streaking. Not streaking.
Not streaking.
when I'm in a creative flow and then I get disturbed, I find that really annoying. So it's not that the person's annoying, it's just that I'm annoyed. And maybe that's the challenge. It's not
because you're focused on this.
Yeah.
You don't want someone coming in.
Yeah. So it's not exactly. So it's not that the person's annoying, it's just that I'm annoyed. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Because I've been disturbed.
So you flip the question around now to how do we not get annoyed at people and actually love people?
Yeah.
So what does that look like if I was to disturb you later on, you're doing some message prep?
You'd get the wrath of Todd.
Is that loving?
Well, it is kind of annoying. Especially when you're, you know, preparing a sermon or something as a pastor, and you're preparing a sermon like on the love of God, and then somebody comes in and really annoys you, and you go, "What the heck are you here for? I'm preparing a message on the love of God." judgmental. Like, it's like a paradox, isn't it? You know, I'm in the zone here, but I'm annoyed here. But that for me is that's probably more of an issue. I don't find, I have to be honest, I don't find there to be too many annoying people in my life. Annoying drivers, yeah, but that's just irksome. Again, that's probably me annoying me. It's not because they're driving badly, it's because I'm not getting there quickly enough.
No, there's some pretty shocking driving about.
That's true, but most of the time I get angry at people who are driving too safely.
No, but if it's too slow, it stops being safe, and that's not loving. You want to love people, you drive the speed limit or a little bit above.
Well, I think that that's a... I think that probably... How do you love really annoying people? I think that... Okay, here's the answer. Let's begin to make some kind of an answer to this. I think that you stop focusing on how annoying the person is and you begin to look at your own heart issues. Ooh. Why am I getting annoyed?
Oh, that's good.
Why am I getting annoyed? Why is this person annoying me? And then if you begin to look into the issues, you begin to realize, okay, I'm annoyed because it makes me feel a little bit insecure because maybe they're doing something that I would like to do, or they have something that I would like to have. Or maybe they've been cheeky and grabbed an opportunity before I had the chance to grab that opportunity. And then that's really annoying. I think the more competitive a person you are, the more tendency to become annoyed you are as well. Are you a competitive person?
I think so. Definitely when it comes to games and sports and things, I get very competitive.
Are you a competitive person in life? And again, I don't think it's bad, by the way, if you say, no, I don't compete in life. I think there's a sense in which all of us compete.
Mm.
And it's managing that. Is it healthy competition or unhealthy competition?
I wouldn't say I'm uber competitive, though.
No.
Not anymore. I think I've grown up. I think younger days, definitely. But now I think, I wouldn't even say it's a security thing. But yeah, I've just, I don't know, mellowed in my old age.
Mm. Yeah, I don't think I'm a super competitive person either. But there's, I try to manage competition. So if I'm doing something, it is right and proper to sort of have a look and see what somebody else is doing to compare the quality of what you're doing. And if it's good or if it's not good. But the annoying thing, you see, so if you can compete in a professional way, dare I say it, but not in a personal way, that kind of helps. So I think annoyance is when it becomes personal.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm annoyed. I'm irked. I'm irritated. The people are irritating me. And that's just one aspect of it. When somebody is similar to me, they're doing similar things to me or to us or to anybody. Mm. And then that can be annoying as well. But then certain personality types can be annoying, can't they?
I think so. I think I've got an annoying personality
type. I don't think you've got an annoying personality at all.
No, the positive...
Everybody loves you. They love you more than they love me.
Pastor Roy, I don't think that's true at all.
The people love you. No, because you're warm and you've got the Fraser Botham smile. And you got the Fraser Botham glasses. And you got like the Fraser Botham vibe.
No, but what I'm trying to say though is, you know, when you've got someone who's because quite naturally I'd be positive as well. Like, I think it's quite natural part of my personality. That can get annoying, can't it? People get annoyed at that.
I don't think so. Not you.
No?
No, not you. You're not an annoying person. I don't think you're an annoying person.
Well, this podcast is doing myself all kinds of good.
No, I think
what would be an annoying personality type?
Well, it depends on your personal personality type. So there's no one answer. This is getting deep, isn't it? This is getting deeper than what I thought it was. I was expecting a lighthearted conversation and a cup of coffee this morning, and now we're going really deep into personality types and how different personality types annoy us. But for my personality type, okay, so I can only talk personal. I can't talk for anybody else. So I'm an introvert. I'm probably a creative, slightly melancholic. I obsess on themes. So, for example, when I preach, I obsess on a theme. Mm. And that's just the way it works for me. And what really annoys me, especially preaching that really annoys me, is when a preaching series is announced, we're going to preach on the love of God. And then some preacher stands up and sort of totally veers off into like sanctification and, you know, and the book of Revelation and the second coming of Jesus. And you think, well, hang on a second. You've just... you know, I'm going to take you to court under the Trades Descriptions Act. You just, that annoys me. So for me, that's like, but that's just my personal, that's my brain.
Okay.
That's the way my brain works. When I do music, I obsess on music. I've got to get it right. I've got to, if I'm doing a variation on a theme, my brain musically is trying to focus on the theme, play around with the theme, the same chords, but different melody, but it all woven around the theme, but that's the way my brain works. I'm an obsessive, compulsive, dysfunctional pastor. You want to join my church?
Yes, please. There's a paradox going on here, though, isn't there?
Because that's a big word, isn't it?
I know.
A para what?
Paradox.
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 Quack, quack.
Pair of ducks in a row. No, a paradox going on because...
A paradox.
There are people who are too similar to us who annoy us, but then there's also people who are the exact opposite. Can almost annoy you as well. That's talking true. About the themes, you know, they don't stick to the theme. That's the opposite of you. So it's like really frustrating. And I
or
get
they
that.
Think in a different way.
Yes.
Or it's a different personality type. That can be, you know, again, in a team meeting, when we get together, I want to get stuff done. I'm not there. I'm not just there for a nice chat.
Yeah.
I'm there to try to get some wins.
Yes.
So for me, again, it's just the uniqueness of my own. I feel like I'm pouring out my heart here.
It's good, Pastor.
I hope the people are appreciating the vulnerability and the honesty of this. But I feel like when I'm in a conversation and it's just chat, but there's no win out of it. Even this today, for example, I'm not doing this just to have a nice chat.
Yeah.
I'm doing this because I want us to, at the end of this or somewhere in this podcast, get to some kind of, come to some kind of conclusion about how you actually, love annoying people. But so that's the way it works with me. So when I'm in a conversation, I want to get a win. It's not just a chat. But again, I'm not saying that that's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm just saying that's me.
Mm.
What about you?
What about me? In terms of what frustrates me?
No.
Annoys me.
Your personality type and what personality types annoy you?
Yeah, that's good. So I'd be sanguine. Extrovert.
What is that, sanguine?
Party, kind of. Just loves people, love being around people. Yeah, that would be me. Kind of positive vibe. Yeah, I think that would be how I describe myself. That would be what I lean towards naturally as well. And then what really frustrates me is, it's going to sound really bad, but people who are very melancholic, you know, people who are just sad all the time, people who don't smile, people who are very, not morbid, but just... You know, naturally having like a resting kind of not friendly face, you know?
Yeah, and I've been challenged about that because there are some people in life and their faces are just like that. Mm. That sounds really bad, doesn't it? The face is just like that. But, you know, some people like inwardly, they do have like deep joy.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't manifest in the facial area.
But then sometimes I think, maybe this is a little bit off topic, but people hide behind, and this is one of the things I love about you. So you're an introvert, but you don't hide behind that as a label. You don't hide behind a personality type and say, no, I'm an introvert, so I'm never ever going to see people. I'm never going to talk to people. You're still faithful to the call of God on your life.
Well, I think no matter what your personality type is, you've got to challenge yourself. And I think that's the point you're making, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, so absolutely.
When you're in a room and you're Mr. Positive and you're Mr. Sanguine, Mr. Party, you want everybody to be happy and everybody to be positive, and then you come up against the person who looks like they're not enjoying it, not sure. happy, and the conversation's kind of downbeat. But then it's working out, okay, so how do I work with that personality? Mm. And how do I embrace that and celebrate sure. that and recognize that not everybody has to be like me?
Exactly.
And actually,
that's a gift that you're not like me.
It's a what a wonderful thing that everybody's not like Fraser Botham in this yeah. world.
Amen.
And me. But mainly me. Fraser Botham. But I mean, so but it's, you know, and then we can easily judge different personality types as well. So you think that the person who's you know, you're sanguine, you're having a party, you talk to somebody and they look negative and they look negative and they sound negative, and then you begin to judge them. Oh, this person really annoys me. I'm just going to stay away from them. But actually, that could be unfair because you could be missing out on the gift of that person's life.
Exactly.
And actually, in their own way, they probably are living it.
Yeah.
It's just that they're not expressing their love of it in the same way as you are. So then love, how do you love annoying people? The first thing that you've got to do then is try your best to appreciate that person.
Oh, absolutely.
Celebrate, I'm going to use a word now, diversity.
Come on.
And I'm not talking about the group diversity. I'm talking about everybody, you know. Yeah. And actually, as you say, what a boring world it would be if everybody was the same, everybody looked the same, talked the same, sounded the same, had the same vibe. No, you need some people who are extroverts, and you need some people who are introverts, and you need some people, you know, who are a little bit different from you. And then maturity in life is learning to adapt, not to change, because mm-hmm. you want to stay authentic to the true you, to the real you, but you also want to celebrate the authentic other person as well.
Yeah, because there's beauty in that.
There's a certain beauty in that.
Because it's a sanguine extrovert, you know, probably a bit more the shallow end of the swimming pool.
Yeah.
But actually, no, it's good to have that conversation with the people who are a bit deeper in the swimming pool, you know, that have a bit more depth, if that analogy makes sense.
And you can give them things and they can give you things.
Exactly.
You can help them to smile and they can help you to be sad.
To actually think.
Or to think, that's the better way of putting it. Yeah. So that's loving annoying people just because they're slightly different.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a good reflection. So it's loving people, appreciating people. But then what about the person who genuinely is like really, you know, they people despise them because their behavior is rude and aggressive, and that's probably the more challenging one, isn't it? How do you love and then Jesus talks about love your enemies. There are some verses I read in the Bible and I think, Lord, why'd you say that? Why did you say that? Like, love your enemies and then turn the other cheek. I find that one really tough because I'm Irish and I love a good fight. You know what our favorite day is in Ireland?
Boxing Day.
It's Ireland's national holiday. We love Boxing Day. We're putting the boxing back into Boxing Day. But but there are some people who are rude and aggressive, and so you want to just give them a taste of their own medicine. You know, the spotted Facebook groups are good for that. You know, revenge. You know, somebody annoyed me, I'm going to post a picture of them. They park in the wrong car park space. Right, I'm going to out you.
I love in the comments, then people are searching their MOT. Oh, the car's not MOT'd, it's not taxed. It is unbelievable.
The car's got dents in it. They probably crashed into somebody else. Did they crash into your car? Check it out. Check it out to see if the shape of the dinge is the shape of the front of that car. The spotted, it's like, you know, people, sinners calling out sin is always a funny thing. It's a bit like, when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and they brought the woman caught in the act of adultery. They brought the woman. That's always the thing that strikes me. Where's the fella?
Takes two to tango.
Two to tango. Mm-hmm. The scholars suggest, and I suspect it's true, that the other guy was probably a Pharisee who was, but that's what sin does. Sin will, conveniently hide away its own to expose that which it doesn't like.
Wow.
And Jesus said, what a classic line.
That's beautiful, isn't it?
Classic line. He's silent. So again, maybe there's a lesson for us there about how to handle annoying people. When people... And I'm talking about the kind of people who are annoying to the extent that they're trying to antagonize you, which is exactly what the Pharisees were trying to do. They were trying to catch him out. If he says, yes, they should stone the woman, then they're going to say, okay, so you don't love the woman then, obviously. And if he says, no, they should not stone the woman, then they're going to say, well, you don't respect the law. So it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't scenario. So what does he do? He goes on the ground, he doodles. And I love it. I remember hearing great sermons about how he wrote the Ten Commandments on the ground. You know, no, it's nonsense. He did a doodle.
A doodle.
He did a doodle.
I think it was a smiley face.
He just,
personally.
Silent. That's the point. He was not responding to his protagonists, to his antagonists, in the way that they wanted him to respond. And then he stands up and he asks a question. Academy Award winning moment. Whoever of you is without sin, gentlemen, please, whoever of you is without, please be the first to cast a stone. Boom, doodle. He's got them. That's how you deal with annoying people. You shut up, you ask a question, you shut up again.
Beautiful.
Beautiful, isn't it?
Oh, that is an answer.
And they all left, all the Pharisees left, one by one, until that's the woman. And then he doesn't condemn, he doesn't condone the woman because she's a bit messed up, but he doesn't condemn her. Go and sin no more.
Go and sin.
And he loves her. And I think that Jesus right there teaches us a lesson about how to love annoying people. He loved the woman, and he spoke to the Pharisees in a way that was not on their terms.
Yes.
I think that's very often when people are trying to annoy you, what they're trying to do is to get a reaction out of you.
That's right.
So, you know, when that's very often, so you get certain personality types and they don't like you. So they're trying to antagonize you. And they know that if you respond in the way that I want you to respond, you're going to compromise your character. Mm-hmm. You're going to compromise your reputation. You're going to shout. You're going to lose your temper. And then everybody will see you losing your temper. And I've done that. And I'll feel like I've achieved something by getting you to do that. And that's very often what people who are trying to be antagonistic try to do. They try to, it's what the enemy does. He tries to fight the battle on his terms. So Jesus there in that story, what's the text of that story, by the way?
Chapter and verse.
Of the woman caught in the act of adultery. Yeah. Laulu, can you get me that? Laulu's here, by the way. He's our producer. so that I can mention it to the people. But it's worth reading.
Absolutely.
But what you've got to do is be silent, not respond to people who deliberately and intentionally try to antagonize you. Massive lesson from Jesus.
But that's genius, though, because how often do we get ourselves in more hot water, in big arguments, busting open relationships, because we're quick to respond to annoying people? You don't get any more annoying than a Pharisee, do you?
True, but then keeping shtum is tough, isn't it?
It is.
Keeping quiet is tough, especially when you're Irish. Especially when you're opinionated like me.
But you can never take your words back, but you'll always have an opportunity to speak, and I think that's kind of the...
Very tough in the moment, though, isn't it? John chapter 8, verses 1 to 11. That's the story of the woman who's caught. I mean, I should know that off by heart, but I just wanted to double check it, because I may have gone to Mark chapter 8, verses 1 to 11, and then people would have seen a passage from the Bible that's confused. Got nothing to do with a woman caught in the act of adultery. but I think that that's the challenge for all of us, is loving annoying people. It does not necessarily mean putting up with or subscribing to toxic behavior.
That's right.
You do not have to subscribe to toxic behavior. In fact, I remember writing a blog about this a number of years ago, and it's probably one of the most well-read blogs I ever wrote, actually, that I am unsubscribing from toxic behavior. I love you too much. Mm-hmm. To just be on the receiving end of that kind of toxic behavior. How do you know when it's annoying to the point of toxic?
Annoying to the point of toxic. Oh, that's a question. Annoying to the point of toxic. It goes beyond surface things. It goes beyond the surface. And it's
damaging. It causes harm. It causes damage when it's toxic. It's causing damage. It's damaging you. It's damaging reputation. It's damaging character. It's calling your integrity into question.
Yeah.
That's toxic. When it's something is compromising your character, that's toxic. So you love the person, but you are totally entitled to unsubscribe from toxic issues. Sometimes we're trying to help people who are you know, dealing with things that that preceded me ever knowing that person.
Yeah.
And then they want to draw you in to try to help them. But here's the challenge with that. Very often when you're drawn in to try to help somebody, then you get blamed for the very issues that were nothing to do with you.
Yeah, that's right.
This preceded me ever meeting you. I never knew you when you were going through this. And now I'm somehow in your life. Now I'm getting blamed. And I will not. I'm a nice guy. And I'm a really nice pastor. But one of the things I've learned in my life is, I'm sorry, but I am not subscribing to that. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to live like that. I love you, but I don't have to love those issues. And I'm sorry for the stuff you've been through in your life. But, you know, come on, we are Christians and we believe in the work of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit's not here to just, you know, to let you live and stay where you are. He loves you too much to let you stay the way you are.
That's right.
So I'm going to be the annoying one in the sense that I'm going to challenge.
Come on.
I'm going to challenge you to be what God's called you to be.
I love that. The new you is the true you, not the old you.
So how do you love annoying people?
How do you love annoying people? I think you also get to a place where you understand people may be annoying for a reason. There's always a story behind the story, like you say, and actually that...
How do you love annoying people?
How?
How? I want answers now. The people want answers.
The people want answers.
Somebody watching this has got somebody really annoying in their life. How? Fraser Botham, how do you love annoying
bless them.
People?
You die to yourself and you bless them.
How?
Bless them. Buy them a gift.
How?
But
how?
How? Buy them a gift. Bless them. Bless that person in your life. I think that's how you love someone.
How?
I'm just saying how. Just, I think that's one way to do it.
Bless them. Is that? And what else?
You can bless them. You can encourage them. You could maybe even challenge them, depending on what's annoying. Depending on what's annoying, you could even challenge that in a loving way, in a gracious way, not in a Facebook comment, email type way, but in a conversation over a cup of coffee that you've bought for them. Not them buying for you.
Yep.
And you encourage them and speak life into them and say, actually, I don't know if you know this, and in a very gracious way, but I think that's loving to people.
And for me, it gets back to a far more fundamental issue, which is, okay, let's check my heart. I'm looking at this person here and what they're doing. And the challenge with buying stuff is that that's just symptoms.
Oh, okay.
And I want to get to heart.
Okay. Because
that's what we said at the start. It's a heart issue. So if it's a heart issue, if somebody's annoying me and it's a heart issue, then I want to make sure before I even think about how I can help that person, that the number one thing is I want to manage my heart. Why is this person annoying me?
That's good.
And again, we've covered a number of issues. Is it clash of personalities? Is it behavior that's toxic? And again, there's different reasons for people annoying you. But then I'm going to deal with my heart. You've got to settle sometimes. In fact, you've got to settle more often than not. I cannot change this person. Okay, gale warning. Are you ready for this? So let's say somebody's dating somebody.
Wow, we're here.
And you'd notice some behavior patterns that are really concerning you. Can I just tell you, if you are at the dating stage, noticing behavior patterns that are concerning you, don't think for one moment that that's going to change the day you get married.
It'll get worse.
Don't think for one moment that those behavior patterns are going to change when you get married, and then you say, well, I've got they will get worse and they will progress. So if you don't deal with those in the courtship stage and the dating stage, then by the time you get married, it's just too late.
Yeah.
And you're when you get married, you're going to have to live with that. So the greatest piece of advice I can give to anybody who's dating is, if you're noticing behavior patterns now, aggressiveness, rudeness, treating you with utter contempt, forcing you to be physical when you don't want to be physical, trying to coerce you into doing stuff that you don't even want to do. If you notice that stuff happening now, then it is better to confront those issues at the dating stage than in the marriage stage.
Mm-hmm. And don't let your feelings get in the way of that either. Don't let your feelings get in the way of recognizing those things. Because we can get so caught up, that phrase,
in my feelings. The person's good looking. Here's what most people do. In their insecurity, this conversation is taking a direction I wasn't expecting. Holy Ghost is trying to say something. But I could never get a person like this again because they're so good looking. Or this, that thing. Well, no, that's just nonsense. Don't be so insecure.
Yeah.
You're a flipping brilliant person. And you deserve a good husband, wife, partner in life. You just deserve you might as well aim for the highest and go for for somebody who's going to bless you. So in the dating stage, if you notice traits happening, confront them. How do you confront them? You sit down with that individual, and you help them to understand the impact that behavior is having on me. And if they take it seriously and they are respecting that, and then you observe their behavior over time as well, you think, okay, there's hope here. This is good. But if you're noticing that those behavior patterns are just happening again and again and again and again and again, then you have every right. Don't be so insecure. Don't be so beaten down on yourself that you think, no, I'm going to have to just accept this. No, you don't have to just accept this.
Come on.
You don't have to just accept this. You are a child of God, and God wants your life to be blessed, and God wants you to be with somebody who you absolutely love to bits, and you deserve somebody who loves you to bits as well. So that conversation has taken a twist.
We need a whole relationships episode, don't we?
Now, don't get me wrong. So what you don't want to do is take this thing to the extreme that every little tiny thing that's annoying, you think, okay, relationship over. I mean, there are irks and quirks in every relationship. Little ways of doing things, so little annoyances. So I'm talking more about toxicity. I'm talking more about behavior that is just corrosive and damaging. But there's little annoying, and that's the thing about relationships. When you get into a relationship with somebody and there's little annoying things, you've got to learn to adapt. You've got to learn to compromise. Some people like to have the toilet roll going inside, and some people like to have the toilet roll going outside. This has like caused problems in marriages for years, especially in the pandemic when people got a lot of toilet roll as well. You know what I mean? So it's like there's little things that are really, they're negotiables.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You say, okay, well, maybe I need to just adapt a little bit here. And I'll just have the toilet roll coming over the outside rather than the... I mean, I'm just using this toilet roll as an example. This is a bog standard podcast.
Dear.
See, toilet roll. Good one. But, so that's an example. So there's little things that cause annoyance. You got to just compromise and learn to deal with those. But when it comes to big stuff, those are non-negotiables for me. And I love the people who are in my life, and I love my church.
Yeah.
I love people enough to say to them... You demand respect.
Yes.
You totally demand it from somebody who you're potentially going to marry. You know, if it's toxic, not just annoying, but toxic, you deserve better than that. Speak.
Absolutely. I think that's gold advice. And I love what you said is there. I think it's knowing your worth as well in that, if that makes sense. Like, know that you're a child of God. Mm. And actually, there's a difference between annoying little traits. So, he doesn't put the tea towel back where it's supposed to be. This is one that my wife gets me on all the time. I always put the tea towel back in the wrong place. But then there are toxic issues, and they only get worse. Because when you're dating, everyone's got the makeup's on, like, you know, everyone's on their best behavior.
And that's just the guy, continue.
That's just me. You know, everyone's on their best behavior. You know, you're only seeing each other for dates, you know, you're texting nice things. You know, when you get married, that's when it gets real. That's when the pressures of life hit. That's when things get real. You're living with this person. And those things are just amplified 10 times more. And I guess the realness of that comes out. So I think that's a super important and healthy warning. And having good friends around you as well who can help who can help spot your blind spots. Because as soon as you get in your feelings, like, you'll start to, those non-negotiables all of a sudden come in the back lane. You need some friends around you who can love you in maybe a bit of an annoying way. And
well, that's why love can be tough, because, you know, you can have feelings, you can have physical attraction for somebody and, you know, and all that. But in the end, character really matters, doesn't it?
100%.
And so little annoyances, fine, work with those. But the big stuff, abusive, put-downs, words constantly running you down, constantly, you know, trying to coerce and control manipulate and all that. Nah, you deserve better than that.
Amen.
I think you deserve better than that. But so how do you annoy? So that's a relationship. That's an important little aspect of this conversation, because relationship is, you got to live with this person pretty much 24/7. And you want to really make sure that you get that right. But then what about the work colleague who's annoying? How do you love a person like that? And what does love look like in an office context where, you know, somebody's just really annoying you?
Do you have to love them if they're that annoying?
You
do, don't you?
Have you read the Bible recently?
Yeah, I have.
He just asked if you have to love. Do you have to? Yes, you do have to. Of course, you have to love everybody. Well, I think, again, for me, from my perspective, when you're in a situation like that, you got the person. Very often, the challenge is what the person projects is the very opposite of what they are.
Mm-hmm.
So, he's so annoying, or she's so annoying because they're so arrogant. I invariably find that arrogance is actually a symptom of massive insecurity.
Yes.
Massive insecurity. So it's compensating for massive insecurity by being overtly and arrogant and I'm the best. And when people say that, as soon as somebody has to big themselves up, you know, okay, you are really insecure. So I've got this little thing now, then when I see somebody like that, I try to identify, okay, so that's an issue there, insecure. So how do I love that person? Well, I want to go and I want to really speak into their insecurity, not in a patronizing way, but I want to speak to the person that God loves, not the person they're projecting. but the real them. And I'm gonna speak to them. And I remember I remember meeting a guy who was very arrogant and full of his own self-importance. But what I chose to do was to do the encouragement thing. I just spoke to the person. Hey, listen, you're a great person, and you know you've obviously got talent and gift and ability, and it's amazing to watch how people respond when you give them encouragement and affirmation.
They don't know what to do,
and very often people don't know what to do. That's true, but very often what that tends to do is it's so shocking to people that it just takes them by surprise, because that's the reason why they're so arrogant in the first place. It's just an attempt to self-prove, gotta prove myself. The reason probably why they're so arrogant is because they never got any affirmation when they were a kid.
Yeah.
And they never had friends who affirmed them, and they never had people in their world who affirmed them. So then you're doing the very thing that they never had, and it takes them by surprise for a little bit. So try it. You got the work colleague whose behavior is arrogant and annoying, but try encouragement. Try affirming the good. Back to the thing we said at the start. Mm-hmm. If there's 99% about a person that's not so good, we'll focus on the 1% that is good. Just try and latch on to it. Latch on to something and learn to big that up and like it. And that is a wonderful way of manifesting love towards that person. Again, yeah. Let's bring this conversation to some kind of an end. What I try and do, and I suppose this is the work of maturity and growing in Christ, etc., etc., etc. But what I try and do, and I don't always get this right, but what I try and do is I always try to see the grace of God in the person's life.
Mm.
And I always try to think, well, this is a person that God loves. And no, I'm not going to tolerate toxic behavior. I'm never going to tolerate toxic behavior because I don't deserve that, and I don't want that. I don't need that. I don't have to have that in my life. But I want to see the grace of God beyond all those issues. I want to see the grace of God in that person's life. And I think you always work towards unity. You always work towards trying to win the person over. You always work towards trying to help the person. And I think when you get that kind of vibe going on in your life, it really helps you to annoy really annoying, it helps you to love really annoying people. So there you go. Podcast, episode number 3. How to love really annoying people. If this has helped you today, you got some thoughts on it, why don't you write, if you're watching on the YouTube, why don't you put a comment or two down there, let us know your thoughts. If you're listening on Spotify, why don't you send us a message through and just say, tell us how it's impacted you and how it's challenged you. We're always here to pray for you as well. If we can stand with you and pray for you, we'd be very happy to do that. Hope you've enjoyed today's Toddcast. Have you enjoyed it?
I've loved it, Pastor Roy. It's been good.
I'm going to consume the rest of my coffee. And I've done this Toddcast today, and I've got a cold. And you do know that when a man gets a cold, it's a far, far worse than when any other human being gets a
10
cold.
10 times worse.
It's a very heavy cold as well. But I've pushed through, and I've done it.
For the Toddcast, and it's been excellent. Thank you, Pastor Roy.
Have a wonderful day. See you soon.